call this meeting of the Development Review Board to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Mr. Crosby, not here. Mr. Dombrowski, not here. Ms. Fishman?
Here.
Ms. Kilbride, not here. Ms. O'Brien?
Here.
Ms. Schubkegel?
Here.
Chairman Martin?
Here. All right, we have a quorum. The first matter on the agenda this evening is approval of the minutes from our meeting of September 20th. So you can tell how long it's been since we last. Everybody had a chance to look at these.
Mm-hmm.
We have a motion to approve these minutes.
I'll move.
There's a second. Any discussion? Want to call the roll, please?
Of the members in attendance?
Yes.
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. Okay, the next thing on the agenda this evening is a pre-filing conference for the property at 344 Lathrop. Lisa had a pretty good explanation of what's going on in her email, but just so you understand, Jordan, this is a, there's no application on file. This is an informal meeting between the board and the developer, or the potential applicant, to let them tell us in a very informal way what they would like to do, and we'll respond and tell them what our concerns are, what we want to make sure gets addressed if they do file an application. There's nothing to vote on, and there's no recommendation to make, but if the applicant presents requests for waivers from certain of the application requirements, then we'll discuss those and vote on those. So it's this, there's not going to be any discussion of how this addresses all the standards or anything like that. We just want to hear what you're proposing and then listen to any comments that there may be from the board. Okay? So everyone who's going to address the board tonight, would you please stand and get sworn in?
To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the Village of River Forest Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm you will give true testimony relative to the matters before this Development Review Board?
All right, Mr. Sheese, if you or someone else wants to address this, you know the procedure. Says identify yourself and tell us what the applicant would like to do.
Thank you. My name is John Sheese. I have a place of business at 7706 Central in River Forest. I am an architect. I'm here as a consultant on behalf of Carmella Properties LLC, and Gina Piccioni is the owner of Carmella LLC. I'd just like to ask her to introduce herself in case there are questions. At least then her name is on the record. Gina?
Hello, I am Gina Piccioni, owner of Carmella Properties LLC. Thank you.
Before you leave, and she is the owner of the dental practice that is at 344 Lathrop, the property.
The dental practice name is River Forest Dental Studio.
Okay, thank you.
How many times can we say River Forest in this opening statement? So I have a PowerPoint presentation, which is the fundamental thing. There's photographs. It's basically to introduce you to the development, as the chairman mentioned. It's casual, so something comes up, we can stop and always go back in that presentation. So I'm going to, the development team, as I mentioned, Carmella Properties LLC, with I'll just refer her to Dr. Gina as the owner as we go along, River Forest Dental Properties, and myself. The hours of operation, so the building, as you'll see, occupies a large portion of the existing building. The building previously, as some of you have been here before, was a design business for a creative group that did development for toys. Dr. Gina bought the property with the intent to run her dental practice there. The hours of operation are there. It's Monday through Saturday with varying start and stop hours. The doctor has 7 part-time employees that don't all work at the same time. There's a maximum of 4 employees there at any given time. During shift change, it might spike up a bit, but that's the typical operations for the dental practice. So if you need dental work, those are the hours. Always pitching, always pitching. The data for the site is that it is a little over 8,000 square feet. This exact square footage is there and in the application packet. The building is a little, it's 5,583 square feet. Again, the last use of the building was as a single user, and you'll see floor plans for that. The parking for the commercial are 2 spaces, and we are proposing 2 parking spaces for the apartment use. You'll see how that lays out in the site plan. We're here for this request. I always like to put this out there, Mr. Chairman and commissioners, just so that to get a sense of why we are here. And we're here because we would like to take a portion of the building and within the current building envelope, so no additions horizontally or vertically to the existing building, and deconvert what is essentially 5 offices and 1 very large meeting room into a 1,797 square foot 2-bedroom apartment that will be used exclusively at this point for Dr. Gina to use, not as a primary residence, but as a way to stay after practice hours or when the weather is challenging. Chicago weather, to get back to her primary residence, which is in Chicago. We will attempt to show that in the deconversion, we're actually proposing a less intense use of the building than it had before or that it could potentially have now with no entitlement action. So that's what we're hoping to prove to you as part of the this process. The zone district is, the building is at 344 Lathrop. So it is on Lathrop, just short of Hawthorne. I think it's just short of Hawthorne. It's one building to the south of the corner of Lathrop and Hawthorne. That is a picture of the building when we had snow on the ground. A little bit farther view, you can see it is not the front building, but you can see the context for the building. This is the building to the south. It is also a commercial building. There's a property further to the south, again, further south on Lathrop. This is a view of the alley. This right here, I'm pointing here, and here is the building here. So this is the 344 Lathrop here. Another view of the alley, just wanted you to get a sense of the context. More context, and we can come back to these a little bit later, but this is the site plan. So remember we said that we are not adding horizontally or vertically. So the main entrance for the dental practice is here. There's a reception area there, and you'll see on the floor plan there. There's a primary, we list them as exits for building department, but there are entrances and exits here, here, and here. The parking is all loaded off the alley, and you see the three spaces with one handicap space. So that's what we have there. These lines here show the adjacent buildings that are both set back off the property line, so there's some distance there set back off this property line. So this is the same drawing you just saw, but we are showing a diagram of what we're proposing. So the rear portion of it, again, 1,785 square feet is encompassed here. That includes a two-car parking garage inside of this portion here. We'll show a better drawing, but we wanted to show you almost the before and after there. So this, which is also part of your packet, this is the current configuration of the space. It slightly resembles the past occupier of the space, but right now the dental practice is taking over some of these spaces here. This is the reception area I was telling you about, waiting area, exam rooms, and things like that. But these are currently not used here. This is used a bit for storage. So when I said earlier that this building has the potential for a much more intensive use, what I meant by that is, again, in its current configuration with no permitting required, all of these office spaces, these five offices, could be used. This large conference room could be used, and a possible use for this space here. All of that is being deconverted to a two-bedroom apartment. And that's what this floor plan shows. These hashed lines say that there's really no intent to do any work in the current dental office. The exits are remaining where they are, and they're adequate for the use. And so we won't need to be adding any exits. We will be reconfiguring this so that this is an exit for, you see the garage here, kitchen living area here with the two bedrooms here and the two bathrooms there. The configuration of that might change between approval and slightly. As I said, we're here for the approval on the deconversion and not necessarily.
Could you push that over because I can't see what.
If I break this,
you won't
break it. You and I are going to be in trouble.
Just accelerate a process that's
okay.
Okay.
It'll be all right.
Is that?
Yeah, because when you're using your pointer, I can't.
Gotcha. Okay. I gotcha. And this helps me too. We're not hiding the fact that this has an economic component to it. Those of you that have been on the board before remember I came up here with the buyers of 400 Ashland, the office building where I have my office. And that building had been sitting idle for about 5 years, if my memory is right. And the reason why, it was for sale for 5 years. There were two tenants that were currently operating there. The problem why it couldn't sell was very similar to this, where the building had it all commercial use. And in Cook County, buildings that are all commercial, they're taxed at a 25% rate. Rate is not quite the right word.
They're assessed at 25%.
They're assessed. So there's an assessed value. It gets multiplied by 25%. And the tax bill comes as a generation for that. Buildings that are mixed use, they're a category 2-12, they're taxed at a 10% of the assessed value. So when you imagine they have two buildings that are identical, right next to each other. One building has all commercial, and one building has at least one residential unit. Those two folks pay a very significantly different tax bill. It's something that Cook County, it's particular to Cook County and not necessarily a river forest action. But what it does, the effect of that, is it makes the one person who has an all-commercial building not able to compete for tenants for, with the person next door. And I'm saying next door, it could be down the block, it's just similar buildings. That's what my client, Dr. Gina, has. She has a tax bill of $51,088. That's a verified tax payment for the last two tax bills that were there. We can, you know, we will submit those as part of the evidence. Whereas an almost identical building, the building where I happen to office, it has almost the same square footage, almost the same lot around the corner and down the street. I could give you the exact dimension, but I would venture to say they're not more than 500 feet apart. That building pays a tax bill of $19,948. That means that the owner of that building has a lower operating cost and is able to find tenants like me and allow us a lower rent. It's putting that property at a disadvantage. So that is, I won't say it's the primary because there's other reasons. Well, it might be the primary reason why we're here asking for this request, this ability to put the apartment in the building, because then it will reclassify the building on the county side and be more in line with that. Will it drop the taxes like that? You know, two buildings get assessed differently, but the multiplier would be the same for both buildings if the request is granted and we're able to put the building in there. So that is, at the end of the day, we're just asking to level the playing field, asking for your help in leveling the playing field between buildings. And I point to 400 Ashland because it's a really known property to me. I worked on the building. I was the person standing up here at the microphone. I think they had a $50,000 tax bill. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was in that same magnitude. So we wanted to be clear about the thing that's driving this request. There's an additional benefit to the property owner in that she would have a place to stay after hours and enjoy that. It also, I'll get to another point, but right now I'd like to cover the waivers. So as part of the application packet I put in, we asked for these four waivers, and I'd like to just briefly describe our reasoning why. It's written in there, but I think the PD process and its requirements is kind of a one-size-fits-all. So much larger developments have all the requirements and small developments, and this is on the very small end of developments, are subject to the same requirement. And for that reason, in order to make it rational, the village allows us to ask for requests or waivers, meaning we'd rather not submit this because of these reasons. So the drainage plan, the building is not changing its fundamental footprint. We're not going up, out. We are adding a two bathrooms. There was a kitchen in the back there, so the kitchen would stay. We don't think that the addition of the two bathrooms is really going to move the needle that far to where we would have to hire an engineer and take a look at a drainage plan, both a surface drainage plan or a waste water flow. The second waiver we're requesting is for professional economic analysis. That is where a consultant is hired to do an analysis of the impact that this development would have. By adding an apartment, we don't think that it would even move the scales. It does add one more residence, but I don't think that, we're asking for your request to see if you agree with us. The traffic study, again, I think we go back to that floor plan that showed five offices at large. That building was set up for that and got some level of approval for the way it was, for the traffic that would be generated for that. We are, by deconverting those five offices in that large meeting room, we believe that we're actually, again, moving the scale in the less intense way. So if you really did a traffic study, I think you would see that this has a less intense use. And I've been around enough traffic engineers to kind of get myself in trouble, but it also would generate traffic at the opposite peak hours then. So if you can imagine the all office will generate traffic at the exact peak hours, whereas the residents will, you know, it will mainly be occupied at night, and where the business is not occupied, and vice versa. So we think that the blend of this will actually allow for a less intense traffic generation. I'm not a traffic guy, but I think that the argument holds some water. And then lastly, landscape plan. We have no intention of changing the landscape since the entrances and everything else is not changing, so we ask for a waiver on submitting a landscape plan. We'd be happy to draw, and I think we did, but we'd be happy to tell you what species are there, but there's no intent to change the landscaping. Finally, the compensating benefits, I always like to close with this because we never, whenever we ask, we always like to show what the reasoning, you know, what final product we would put out there to the community. And first and foremost, it would level the playing field for the property owner. It stabilized the building economics. You can imagine that if you have to add every year an additional $25,000 of cost to the building, that makes the building economics much more difficult to operate. So it allows the property owner to keep investing in their property, and this is a reinvestment in the property by the simple fact that this is going to cost money and it will stabilize the building. It allows for multi-use building in very walkable urban environment. That is always a good thing. And it adds to the community vibrancy. I think this, I can explain what that means, but I think if you want me to clarify that, I will. I wanted to keep my presentation short. Short is relative. And I'd be glad to answer any questions, and Dr. Gina would answer some questions as well.
I have one question, I think, for Chairman Martin. So to think about being able to call this, a mixed-use property, would that have to be a rentable property instead of her living there? Does she have to then pay rent into her building? I'm not sure for zoning, is that some
I don't know the answer to that. We'd have to look at the zoning code to see if the
how legally the that has to be set up.
I haven't looked to see if residential is a permitted use in the zoning district.
I believe it is, Mr. Chairman.
And what impact, there might be. But that's something that, we can ask the applicant to be sure to address when they file their application.
Right. Because the building that you're in, where your office is, that is rented to someone, where someone lives there, that's rented to someone outside of the business, correct, or no?
Initially it wasn't. It was leased to my son for 2 years. I've done a few of these in Oak Park, River Forest, and what the county asks for is the following. They want to see before and after photographs. They wanted to see the actual finished product, the kitchen, the bathroom, the bedrooms, but they also asked for a lease. Now, the lease could be written, you know, the property.
John, you're talking about what the county wants or to reassess the property.
Correct. That's correct.
So we're not worried about how this is assessed. That's beyond, I think, what our concern is. You know, we're going to be concerned about whether the property is properly zoned, and we're going to be concerned whether the property, if an application is presented, justified, meets all these standards that we're supposed to.
Correct.
You know, whatever, you know, one thing we may be concerned about is the economic impact of this proposal with the drastic reduction, the proposed drastic reduction in taxes. That may be something that we want to consider. But how the county goes about assessing the property is really beyond, I think, what we're concerned with here.
I will present a zoning analysis, and so use will be part of that, Mr. Right. Chairman.
So we'll look at, yes, ma'am.
Currently, it's C3.
Oh, I'm sorry, we audio record the meetings. Can you go to the microphone? Oh, sorry. Thanks.
So currently it is zoned as C3, which allows residential. But as it's written, it's for two or more apartments. Currently, in that zone, this would only be one.
Well, we're going to look at the zoning.
Yeah,
we're not,
but that's, I think, what
we're
your
not
question
here to address
was.
All this. We're not here to give you answers tonight. Yeah. We're here to listen to what you want to do, and John has made that presentation.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So, but you can be assured that one thing we'll look at and ask Mr. Raddatz to advise us on is, you know, does the property have to be rezoned for the use that you're
correct
you
correct.
Are proposing? Does that answer your question?
Kind of.
All right, but at least it's something that we're going to have to consider.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for the applicant?
Parking is always an issue.
Yes.
So if employees will park behind, where will clients, patients,
where will they park? Yeah. There's on-street parking. One thing that we should know is that patients who come in stay somewhere between 20 minutes to 45 minutes, with 1 hour being the maximum that any given patient would be there. So we believe that there's
a lot quicker than my dentist.
Yeah.
That's why you should switch to, that's it's closer to home, I would imagine. Operations are important, and when we come in for the application, we'll have data to support that. And there are, because this is so close to a lot of our work that we've done, there are possibilities for additional parking. The River Forest Kitchen is a possibility, and some others in the neighborhood. Yeah. Yes,
well,
it always is.
So in your application, you're going to have to address what are the parking requirements under the code.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what are the parking requirements for a residence as well as for the business?
We've done that before with Clifford, so with his help, okay. we'll have that in the application packet.
Okay, any other questions? Anything that you... Based on this preliminary discussion, is there anything that you want to advise the applicant to make sure that they address or bring to our attention, you know, if an application is filed that beyond what we've already talked about?
I don't think so.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us?
I'll see you in 2 weeks. We'll get our application packet in, and we'll work with Lisa and Clifford. So.
Okay. So
thank you. Thanks. All right, so it was good feedback. Thank you.
Okay. So now we should address the request for waivers, and what we're being asked to do is to permit the application to be filed without complying with certain of the requirements set out in our statute, in our ordinance. So the first waiver is section you know, 10-19-6B8, where they're asking for a waiver of a landscape plan.
I'm okay with that.
Anybody have any questions about that?
I'm good with that.
Okay. All right, so let's deal with these one at a time. So somebody make a motion to grant the request for a waiver for the B8 landscape plan.
I make the motion to grant the waiver for landscape.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? We know that you're going to have to comply with whatever the landscape ordinance is in the village. That we're not waiving the ordinance. We're just saying you don't have to provide any new plan. All right, any other discussion? You want to call the roll, Cliff?
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Ms. Shubikaro?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, then there's a request that we waive application requirement B12, which is a professional traffic study. And we usually, the traffic study often tells us is, what's going to be the impact of this proposed development? Is it going to generate any additional traffic? How much additional traffic? How is that additional traffic, if any, going to impact the current traffic flow in this area? So, anybody have any questions about this way?
No.
All right.
I'll move.
Okay, moves there a second that we grant this waiver.
I'll second.
All right, it's moved and seconded. Any discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Shubikaro?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Okay, then they're asking for a waiver of the economic analysis of the property. I think that request or requirement has a couple of different parts to it. Evidence of the economic viability, an analysis of the economic impact on the village, but also it says that we need to be provided with some evidence of the capability of the applicant to complete the proposed development. So I think in the past we have considered a partial waiver of this, but I think it's important that we require the applicant to demonstrate to us the ability to complete the development so that we're not stuck with a project that is been approved and then for economic reasons is never built. So. Anybody have any?
No, I think that she does need to prove financial capacity to complete the project.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the applicant agrees to submit documents that satisfy that partial requirement of economic viability.
Okay. Or of her ability to complete the project, not the economic. That the project's economic viability.
I understand.
Okay. So does anybody have any thoughts about this request for a waiver?
No, I think it should be just how you stated. I think they still have to show the financial capacity to complete it.
All right. So I would move that we grant a waiver from the B13 B and C requirements.
A second.
Any discussion?
What about C? How it affects the village? Wondering that they're ultimately looking to reduce the tax amount with whatever portion goes to here and there and everywhere else.
If you want to. Motion, or ask me if I'll amend my motion. You know, we can do that and just waive B. All right. So I'm willing to amend my motion. I forget who seconded it. Are you willing to?
I am.
Okay.
Second.
So that what we consider now is a waiver of the B13B evidence of the economic viability. And they'd still have to demonstrate the ability to complete the development and an analysis of the impact on the village, which may just simply be showing at different tax levels, you know, what the different taxing bodies are going to receive from the new tax bill. Okay. All right. So the motion before us is that we waive requirement of B13B only. Any other discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Ms. Shub-Kagel?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right. The last request for a waiver is to do away with the requirement that they provide a site drainage plan. Cliff or Lisa, do you have any comment on how that might impact the village if you're not provided with that site drainage plan?
Given that there's no changes to the exterior of the building, it stays as is, so I don't see any impact on us. It's the current. Whatever it is now is what it will be.
And what about the addition of the washroom?
Two bathrooms.
Or the bathroom? Okay. Is that going to have something that you should be concerned
with? I think
with?
It would be de minimis.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Somebody want to make a motion?
A motion.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. It's been moved to second that we waive the requirement of B17 of the application. Any discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Shub-Kagel?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
All right. That's it. That's the pre-trial. Pre-trial.
Pre-trial.
The lawyer.
The pre-filing conference. Those are the waivers. The next step is up to you to submit an application. When the application is complete, then we'll set a hearing. But we're not going to set a hearing just because you're going to file the application on Tuesday. It's got to be in the village's hand before we'll set the hearing. Any other questions? All right. Nothing else on the agenda. Do we have a motion to dismiss? Or a second? All in favor, say aye. We're dismissed.
Aye.